Scripture reading here this afternoon will come from the book of Psalms, the 103rd chapter, verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you from the loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all his benefits. I want to say good morning. Kind of want to say good afternoon. Kind of want to say good evening. I don't know about you, but I am kind of a creature of habit, and so I'm a little bit disjointed a little bit. I give you permission when I say later this morning, or I did it already. I give you permission when I say later something about this morning or this evening instead of this afternoon. You can laugh. See, it took 3 seconds and I'm already disjointed. So I was thinking, since we didn't have our worship gathering this morning and we're kind of combining our evening worship together this afternoon, I figured that means I have twice as much time as usual. And then I was thinking we canceled 2 weeks ago, which means I kind of have that time as well. And so kind of buckle in, strap in, and we'll be here for a little while tonight. No, we really do have a lot we want to say tonight. And to be honest, we're not going to be here for 12 hours. You don't need to worry about that. But we do have a lot of what I feel are really important things to say. And to be honest, I stand in front of you this afternoon, and I don't quite feel up to saying what we need to talk about tonight. There are times when I come before you and I feel like I have a message that's well crafted, that's well put together with the right words and right phrases in the right places that can kind of lead us to where we need to be by the power of God's Spirit. But I don't feel like I have those words tonight, this afternoon, whatever it is. And I don't even necessarily feel like I have the right to talk about this. Because in many ways, I'm preaching to myself tonight more than I usually am. Preachers always preach to themselves before they preach to anyone else. But even tonight, it's like God has put a weight on me, a burden on me, as we go to his word together tonight. So our goal, my goal for us tonight, since I don't have the words put together, since I don't have the right phrases, the right eloquence, my prayer is that we'll allow the scriptures to speak. We'll allow the scriptures to speak powerfully and truthfully into our lives. That I can just kind of fade into the background. And that the word of God can lead us by the power of God's Spirit to be exactly where we need to be. So before we get into that, we're going to be in Psalm 92 if you want to open your Bibles there. But before we get into that, I'm going to talk a little bit about some things that are going on in our life together as a church. Because we do have a lot going on right now. Our teens just came back last weekend from a fantastic trip to Winterfest. The theme for the past couple years has been this 4-year cycle called The Way, where we are talking about the way of Jesus, the way that leads to life everlasting, talking about discipleship. And the theme specifically this past weekend was watch. The idea that this discipleship journey is a journey that we are all on together. And no one's been called to discipleship as individuals removed from the community of faith, removed from the church. We are all called to this life of discipleship together. And so it's important that we remember that our teens, our kids, our youth are not just the future of the church. Our youth, our teens, our kids, they are the church now. We are all together, the body of Christ in this place. We've all been called to this journey together. And so there were a few challenges that were kind of issued over the weekend, and I want to lay some of those challenges before us as a congregation in hopes that some of us might pick up these challenges and maybe even reach out to some of our teens who were there or even some of our teens who weren't there and kind of walk these challenges together. The first challenge they made to us was to immerse ourselves in the Gospels, to spend time every month reading the Gospels, either dedicating ourselves to reading one Gospel every month or to be extra ambitious and read all four Gospels every month so that the words of Jesus might become our words, so that the way Jesus thinks, the way that Jesus reacts might become the way that we think, the way that we react, so that the way Jesus responds might become the way we respond. It goes back to kind of what we talked about several months ago. How do we know what Jesus would do if we don't know what Jesus did? And so immersing ourselves in the story of Jesus so that Jesus can get in our hearts and can begin to shape the way that we live and the way that we live together, the way that we respond. We're also challenged to find some ways to be accountable, to find people around us who can encourage us in our journey towards discipleship. The truth is, it's really easy to hide in a group of 230 people, or in a group of 100 people, or even in a group of 50 people. It gets really easy to just kind of fade into anonymity in a group like that. And so we are challenged to place people around us who will keep us accountable, who will keep us on track, who will help us every week to make sure that we are walking the way we need to be walking, that we are thinking the way we need to be thinking, we are structuring and living our lives the way that we need to be structuring and living our lives. And then we are challenged to mentor, to find someone who is a few steps ahead of us on the journey and learn from them. We're also challenged to find someone who is a few steps behind us on the Jesus way and encourage them. Someone who is leading us, but also leading other people. So we're also collecting a collection for Tabitha Storehouse, which is that non-food pantry ministry of the National Road Church, who are seeking practical ways to love our neighbors and to love God by giving of things that government assistant programs don't cover, of things that food pantries don't normally cover. And so we've got that collection going on across from my office, and I would love to see that table just overflowing as we are generous with what God has blessed us with so that we can be a blessing, so that we can partner with them as they seek to be a blessing. I'm reminded of something as I look at ways God is working in places like National Road and ways that God is working here among us, that God has not abandoned this battle. We're in the midst of winter. It's dark, it's cold, it's dreary, and it's easy to get down. It's easy to get a little bit frustrated. It's easy to forget the goodness and the love of God in a season like this. But if we have eyes to see, we look out around us, we can see that God has not abandoned us, that God is up to something in this valley. And so our elders and our leadership are praying and discerning as we seek God's calling, as we look at new building projects, as we look at searching for another minister, as we look for ways that we can continue to work for the kingdom of God in this community. We have the new deacons who are doing a fabulous job working together with great energy, with great sacrifice, with great service as we work for the kingdom of God. God is up to something. God is up to something in this country. God is up to something in this world. He is up to something in this valley. He is up to something in this church. And I want to encourage us this afternoon to not get so caught up in the details and the worries and the distractions of life that you miss what God is doing around you and what God is doing even within your own heart. We've been talking a lot over the past several weeks about the weight of the responsibilities of life, of our work, of our school, of our housework, on our homework, on our bills, on our practices, and all of those responsibilities that we have that just seem to pile up. And all of those things are important. All of those things have their place, but all of those things can pull us away from what is most important. So in the weight of all of that, we need focus. We need to focus on Jesus, to cut through those distractions and to pursue the heart and the core of discipleship. And one of my most desperate prayers is that we might be a people with an unrelenting focus on Jesus, that we won't get caught up in the distractions, but we won't get distracted by all of the things of life, that we will have an unrelenting focus on Jesus, not just on finer points of doctrine, not just on soccer teams and football teams or the Ohio State Buckeyes, not just on building projects or our responsibilities, not just on all of the things we have going on in life, but that we might be a people with an unrelenting focus on Jesus. All of those other things are good. All of those other things have their place, but it is when we find that focus on Jesus, when we can fully step into the life that God has called us to. See, because when we fight for that focus, when we lift up our gaze, we look at Jesus, it begins to shape us. It begins to mold us. It begins to transform us. The biblical word for that is sanctification. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that process of becoming more and more holy, that process of becoming more and more like Jesus. Because the reality is, as followers of Jesus, we are called to a different life. We are called to a life of holiness, a life of reflecting the glory of God, a life of reflecting the glory of Jesus. We've been called to something much deeper than doing life the way everyone else around us does it. We've been called to something more consuming than living life as the world around us does. It's easy for us to fall into the trap of comparing ourselves to what our neighbors do, comparing ourselves to what our coworkers do or what our friends do, and say, as long as we're a little bit better than that, then we are where we need to be. When in truth, God calls us to holiness. He calls us to reflect the glory of Jesus. And so when we find that focus on Jesus, when we can lift up our gaze, we are marked, we are identified, we are characterized by certain things. A few weeks ago, we talked about how we will be characterized by a life of loving sacrificial service, of loving God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and all of our strength, and loving our neighbors as ourselves. It's that Romans 12 passage, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Pour ourselves out on the altar of God's mercy, and fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. We will also be marked when we lift up our gaze, as we focus our lives on Jesus, by living a life of worship. Not just marked by the external form of our worship, but marked by the passion of it, marked by the intensity of it, marked by the content of our worship. And so that's where we're going this afternoon. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everything that you do for us. Father, thank you for the chance to meet together this afternoon. We know it's kind of a little bit different than what we're used to, and maybe we've got some distractions going on around us. Maybe we're a little bit hungry this time in the afternoon. Maybe we're a little bit tired this time in the afternoon. But Father, we pray that you would draw our hearts to you, that you would help us lift up our gaze to your holiness, to your goodness. And Father, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, and in the truth of your word, that you would mold us and shape us after the image of your Son, so that we might leave here reflecting your glory. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our scripture reading this afternoon came from the Psalms. And I absolutely love the Psalms because the Psalms give voice to our lives. They give voice to our laments. They give voice to our fears. They give voice to our frustrations and our angst and our anger and our sadness. But the Psalms also give voice to our praise. Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Do not forget all of his benefits. And this is what we most often call worship. And when we think of worship, we usually think of what we do when we gather together here in this place, when we lift up our voices in song. But worship is more than just our singing. Because worship at its heart is making much of God. It's making much of who God is. It's making much of what God has done. It's making much of what God is doing in our lives. It's giving up our entire lives for the fame and the renown and the glory of God. It's giving our lives over to the one who has saved us, the one who has saved us from the futility of our sins. It's giving our lives over to make much of the one who has loved us with the love that we could never comprehend. Worship is giving over our lives to make much of the one who called us out of the pit, the one who gave us meaning and purpose in the midst of our futility, the one who walks with us through the valley of the shadow of death. Worship is giving our lives over for the glory of the one who has given us every spiritual gift that we could ever need in Christ Jesus, the one who has given us every good gift that we have ever received. Worship is giving our lives over to this incredible, powerful, loving God. And this is where my words fail. I just don't have the words to draw us in to this kind of worship, this kind of praise, this kind of honor and glory that belongs to our God. So this is where we want to allow the Psalms to speak into our lives. So Psalm 92 starts like this. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp and the melody of the lyre." Now we need to stop there because obviously we don't have a lute or a harp or a lyre on stage. I'm not even sure I know what a lute or a lyre is, and I know I could not play a harp if my life depended on it. There's kind of a shift that happened from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where there was a focus in the Old Testament on the external form of things. In the New Testament, Jesus shifts that focus away from the external towards the internal, towards the spiritual. And so one of the things we see as we look at the New Testament is we see a simple form of worship, of lifting up voices together in song. So the psalm continues, verse 4, "For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the work of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord. Your thoughts are very deep. The stupid man cannot know. The fool cannot even understand this, that though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, you are on high forever. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered." The psalmist says, give thanks. Give thanks because of God's steadfast love, his love that is new every morning. He says, give thanks because of the faithfulness of God that is more true and more real and more certain than even your next breath. The psalmist says, give thanks because God outlasts all evil. There are times when we look at the news and the evil of the world around us seems to be all-consuming. We look even at our own lives. We look even at our own hearts, and sometimes we feel like the evil is never going to let go. But the psalmist says, this glory and steadfast love and faithfulness of God is going to outlast all evil. And so he says, give thanks. And Psalm 93 says this. It says, "The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He has put on strength as his belt. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old, and you, O God, are from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. They lift up their roaring, but mightier than the water, the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your decrees are trustworthy. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore." The psalmist says, the Lord reigns. He is in control. The Lord has strength. The waters might be foaming around us. The floods might be rising in our lives. Their strength might be like the sound of thunder. But God, in his infinite glory, is mightier than even the swiftest water. The Lord reigns. The Lord is strong. The Lord is everlasting. The Lord shall not be moved. And Psalm 95 says, "Oh, come, let's sing to the Lord. Let's make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hands are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His because He has made it. And His hands have formed the dry land. So come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand." He says, make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise because God is our salvation. He is our rock that shall not be moved. God is the great King. God is the one who holds the depths of the deepest sea in His hands. And He is the one who holds the heights of the highest mountains in His hands. He is the one who formed the creation around us. And He is the one who holds us in His hands. And so make a joyful noise to the Lord. Bow yourself down before this great King. Psalm 96, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the people are nothing but worthless idols. But the Lord, He made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him, all of the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. And so let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea foam and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord. For He comes. He comes to judge the earth. And He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in faithfulness. Let's join the chorus of the creation that sings of this God's everlasting love. Let's join the chorus of the creation around us that sings this new song that declares the glory of God among the nations, that declares the glory of God in our city and in our valley, that declares the glory of God in our workplaces and in our families. Declare the glory of God even in our own hearts. Psalm 97 says, "The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the coastlands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness are all around Him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of His throne. Fire goes before Him and it burns up His adversaries all around, and His lightnings light up the world. The earth sees and trembles, the mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all of the earth. The heavens proclaim His righteousness, and all the people see His glory." And so rejoice. Rejoice because God operates in a kind of power and a kind of beauty and a kind of majesty and splendor and strength and might that we could never fully understand. Rejoice at this power of God. Psalm 98, "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for He has done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm have worked salvation for Him. The Lord has made known His salvation, for He has revealed righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered His steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All of the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God." So make a joyful noise to the Lord, all of the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with a lyre. Sing praises to the sound of melody with trumpets and the sound of the horn. Make a joyful noise before the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands. Let the hills sing for joy together. For before the Lord He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. I love that this psalm and others have said, make a joyful noise. I don't know about you, but I can't sing. I mean, I can sing. I can make a noise come out of my mouth, and occasionally it hits the right note. But I can't sing like some of you can sing. So I love that it says, make a joyful noise. I might not be able to hit a C note if my life depended on it, but I can make a joyful noise. I remember once being in church at the Jacobsburg Church of Christ when I was just a little kid, and I don't remember much from being there, but I remember a preacher saying this, and it wasn't even in a sermon. I remember him saying when he was standing by a pew, I might not be able to sing well, but I can sing loud. We are not called to be people who sing well. There's nothing wrong with that, don't get me wrong, but we are called to be a people who make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise because of the way the Lord has worked His salvation for us. Our salvation, or our worship rather, our song, our service, everything that we do as worship to the Lord flows from this, that God has saved us, that He has worked salvation for us. See, worship gets a little bit more difficult when we think that we've done most of the work in our salvation. But when we realize that we come before God with nothing to offer but stained hands and broken hearts, when we realize that when we come before God, we come as sinful people who are in rebellion against a holy and a righteous God, when we realize the depth of love and the depth of God's power demonstrated on the cross of Calvary and in that empty tomb thousands of years ago, worship becomes just a little bit easier. When we realize that we have nothing to bring, but it is all God's power, it is all God's grace, it is all God's salvation, then worship should just be overflowing from us. When we realize all that God has done for us, worship becomes like second nature to us. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't you dare forget all of His benefits. Don't you forget all that God has done. Don't you dare forget your salvation that was bought for you at an incredible cost. Don't you forget the glory of God that was shown on the cross and the glory of God that will one day be shown when He comes back to claim us as His own. So bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Worship is our song. It's our praise. It's our shout of victory. It's our joyful noise that might be a little bit off key. But more than all of that, worship is what we do with our whole being. All that is within me, all that is within us, let us bless the Lord. And so that's our challenge this afternoon. That is our challenge tomorrow. That is our challenge when we gather together on Wednesday night. That's our challenge when we go to work on Thursday morning. That's our challenge when we gather together again next Sunday. That with all that's within us, to bless His holy name. So can you do that? Can you give yourself over to make much of this incredible, powerful, loving, and everlasting God who bought your salvation at an incredible cost? Can you give yourself fully to the will of God so that the glory of God might be reflected in your life, so that the glory of God might be reflected in our worship, so that the glory of God might be reflected to this community? We offer an invitation this afternoon for you to come to Christ if you've never come to Christ, to be buried in baptism, to be raised as a new creation, bringing glory to God in every aspect of your life. And we offer an invitation for those of us who are struggling, for those of us who are hurting, those of us who need the prayers of the church. If you need to respond, would you come as we stand and as we worship together?